ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A little bit nervous, but I was always taught, like, if you're not nervous, you don't really care about it. I just been trying to get better at everything. Really been trying to work my technique, working my progressions and stuff like that, just kind of getting comfortable with the pace of the game. So I'm just really trying to come back and just be a whole different kind of savage whenever it's time for camp.
Texans swarm, baby. That's Kamari Lassiter, Texans' second-round pick, their first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, and per some, the front runner to be cornerback number two. He was catching up with Chancellor Johnson of Channel 2, KPRC. It all kicks off tomorrow. And I'm not going to lie, for the first time in a very long time, I'm actually excited to get up early, to lather up in some sunblock, and to watch the Houston Texans at work tomorrow morning before the show. I can't wait. No sarcasm here. For the first, I think, offseason ever, I'm looking at the Houston Texans as a team that does not have somebody in their way, which is crazy because the Ravens have beaten them twice in the last calendar year. The Kansas City Chiefs are still the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think during the Deshaun Watson era, going into the 2018 season, I was still always a little dubious, mainly because, well, okay, last year, Watson had some good moments in 2017, but in 2018, like, are they going to be able to do better than they were 3-4? They had a good 2018 season, but they started off 0-3. I always thought that teams like the Patriots were a class above them. They lost that first game of the year, and they did win 9 in a row, but going into that year, I wasn't 100% sure. This year, I feel so good about the team, but as you do this week, especially right after an All-Star game where Yordan Alvarez had a 5-pitch walk and Texas culture was appropriated by Fox and by Major League Baseball in a rather demeaning and offensive way, I feel like I've got to put out my 5 biggest questions for the Houston Texans entering training camp. We'll go in reverse order, 5 through 1. Number 5, who among Houston Texans media will be the biggest dork when it comes to keeping statistics of guys practicing against each other in shorts? Who's going to be the dork of all dorks? I'm not asking who's going to complain about a lack of air conditioning. That's John McClain. I'm not going to say anything like that. I'm just asking who's going to be the reporter that unironically keeps very detailed statistics. And it's going to be my guy, DJ Bien-Aimé. I can't wait. I know he's not listening right now. We're going to have him on a bunch this football season. I can't wait. But lock it up. No one will keep better stats of men throwing to other men in shorts than DJ Bien-Aimé. Because DJ and I, we're flag football legends. Okay? We appreciate men throwing to other men in shorts. So that's my 5th biggest question for the Houston Texans entering training camp. Paul, that wasn't serious. So these are my biggest questions. Number 4, this is actually a serious one. Will the offensive line come out of this year's camp, A, healthy, and B, solidified? Feels like every single year, the Houston Texans have a lot of shuffling that goes on the offensive lines. Why Titus Howard always ends up playing interior offensive lineman, despite being someone who has on his Twitter profile, right tackle only. But going into training camp, Laremy Tunsil should be ready to go. You would hope Titus Howard, who had the surgery last year, is going to be ready to go. Shaq Mason at right guard. Left guard, center. You're not 100% sure what's going to happen. Is Kenyon Green, who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, is he actually going to play? At center, is Juice Scruggs, your second-round pick, going to be the guy? Or any of the players who's filled in there last year going to be the guy? I don't really care as long as it's not a musical chair deal like it was last year. Partly due to injuries, which started off this time of year, but also because you had some guys that I think really didn't live up to what they were billed as. And I'm specifically talking about Kenyon Green, who obviously got injured in that preseason game against the Saints, but it didn't really feel like things were progressing in the right direction before that. Is he 100% healthy this time? I mean, this is the last chance for him. So that's my fourth biggest question for the Houston Texans entering training camp, which kicks off tomorrow. Is the offensive line going to be able to get out of camp healthy and solidified? Is there going to be a unit that actually gets to mesh together, gel together? There will be injuries over the course of the year, but they can't possibly be any worse on that front than they were last year, right? They were so unlucky. Question number three. Who will C.J. Stroud have the most chemistry with at wide receiver? And this is for all the fantasy footballers out there. Who should I draft in my fantasy league? I mean, I'm a PPR league, but we also have bonuses for guys who get a lot of yards, especially for guys who get 20-plus yard plays. What should I do? I mean, there's some of you out there. I understand it. Fantasy football is life for some. Flag football is life for others. Stroud relied on Nico Collins the most at the end of last year by necessity. Collins has the ability to stretch the field. Collins is extremely fast, straight line speed-wise, but also has the ability to juke people after the catch, run people over after the catch. He was towards the top of the league in terms of yards after catch. He is now, after a year developing chemistry with C.J. Stroud, a full season, looking like a guy who could be in the conversation for top 20 wide receivers in the NFL. Statistically, last year, he was top 10 in the majority of them. Is he going to be able to keep that up? Is C.J. Stroud going to look at him the same way he looked at him last year? Because Tank Dell is going to be back, and as undersized as Tank Dell might be, Dell and Stroud clearly have a Vulcan mind meld of some sort, a la Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett, when plays break down. For those who don't know, when I was up in Seattle, if you saw Russell Wilson extending a play, you knew he was going to go to Tyler Lockett eventually. And you knew that Lockett was going to come down with the football. And given Lockett's size, given Tank Dell's size, smaller than Lockett, I feel like this is a pretty good comparison to make between the two. So you've already got established relationships. Stroud likes those guys a lot. He likes Dalton Schultz. But how is Stephon Diggs going to fit into all of this? Is he going to get annoyed if he doesn't get the ball thrown his way? He can say he won't get annoyed for now. But look, receivers get open, and sometimes they don't have the ball thrown their way. And now you got two other receivers that are fighting for touches. I don't think it really matters ultimately from a wide receiver perspective when it comes to the wins and losses for this team, who has the most. But I am very curious to see who ends up being Stroud's go-to guy. The good news is you got that many good receivers. That should never be the kind of problem that hurts you. It just hurts the egos of the guys who aren't getting the ball. Number two, my top five questions for the Houston Texans entering training camp, which kicks off tomorrow. After Derek Stingley, who is a starter in the secondary? I really don't know. You would think that at safety, it's Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, right? Jalen Petrie's going into his third year. Jimmy Ward's played in a D'Amico Ryan's defense for a little bit. Kalen Bullock is a third-round rookie out of USC. Really bad at taking angles to the ball in college at USC. So you probably don't want to have somebody out there that's maybe more suspect at tackling than Petrie was last year. But while those two are the front runner at safety, I feel like you could do better. I talked about this in the first hour of the show. I feel like if you're the Texans, you should be picking up the phone with $20 million in cap space and wondering if you can get in Quandre Diggs or Justin Simmons to play safety. I don't know that either of those two are going to be your starting guy going into the year. There's still enough time left where you would think that some veteran is at the very least going to get a phone call. Maybe not, though. Maybe they have complete confidence in those two. After that, I have no idea who the number two corner is going to be. You heard coming into the segment Kamari Lassiter talking about how he wants to be a savage out there, but he's also a little bit nervous going into Texans training camp. He is the front runner for the number two corner spot right now, and he's a rookie second round pick that a lot of people projected to be a nickel corner. What does that mean? Good question. I don't know. It's, I think, largely due to his size, maybe because he wasn't showing that straight line speed, but there were some teams that traded up to get in front of the Houston Texans to draft cornerbacks, Cooper DeJean, among others, in this year's draft. Like, the Texans were just sitting there, and a couple teams swooped up in front of them, and they took cornerbacks. Was Kamari Lassiter the first guy on the Texans board? Whatever the case, he's ahead of C.J. Henderson and ahead of Jeffrey Okuda, two former top 10 picks from 2020, who the Texans signed in the offseason. But after Derek Stingley, who is a starter in the Texans secondary? That's my second biggest question. And my first question, the number one question about the Houston Texans entering training camp, which kicks off tomorrow, who is going to be the first media member who zags and thinks that they're not going to be good? Who's going to do it? The last person who merely suggested they should stop talking as much as they do, Jason Braddock, literally quit the industry. Was it because y'all came back at him? He said it was because he felt like he lost his fastball. I don't know. I felt like the article he wrote was actually rather engaging and made some good points. Who is going to be the first person to zag against the Houston Texans in local media? I want to know. Someone's going to do it. Is it going to be Joe George? I don't know if it's going to be Joe George. Joe's the one that's saying that C.J. Stroud's going to win a Super Bowl on his rookie contract. We'll see. But he seems rather bullish about the team going in. I could do it. I could just do it to annoy other local media members, to troll them a little bit. Should I put on my Skip Bayless hat? My Skip Bayless skin mask? I mean, I'm jacked like Skip Bayless, kind of, you know? So, I mean, like, I can pull it off. I just need to get one of those Mission Impossible masks, put it on my head, and just spout out all of the things that will troll everybody. Maybe that's the key to ratings here. Just completely zagging when everyone is buying into the Houston Texans hype. Who's going to be the first? I could do it, but am I paid Skip Bayless money? I don't know. Maybe some of our Rock the Mic contestants will do that. Paul, what's Rock the Mic? Oh, have you not been listening to us over the last couple of weeks? Rock the Mic is back. It's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic is going to get a podcast on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have a podcast or you've always wanted to start one, now is your chance. You can enter by sending a 3 to 5 minute video with your best Houston sports take to rockthemic, M-I-C, 975 at gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic, 975 at gmail.com. Now you know, and if you want to ask questions about the Houston Texans entering training camp, and for your boy to answer them, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. Stick around.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Five biggest questions for the Houston Texans going into training camp, which kicks off tomorrow. Five. Who's going to be the biggest dork when it comes to keeping stats during practice? I suggested my guy, DJ Bien-Aimé. But a couple other texters from the 832 suggested it'd be Cody Stutes, ESPN Houston traitor. Yeah, he left us. Went on to do bigger things, covering football on his own. Oh, you think you'll survive outside the mothership? I'm kidding, Cody. From the 832, hands down, Cody will be the nerd ass keeping all the weird, meaningless stats of players and shorts for the Texans. That's mean. It's going to be DJ. Trust me. He's done it before. Another text. This one has to do with some of the other questions. We'll get to those in a moment. The other questions. Four, what will the offensive line come out of this year's camp healthy and solidified? Three, will C.J. Stroud, who will he have the most chemistry with of his wide receivers? Two, after Derek Stingley, who's a starter in the Texans secondary, number one, who will be the first local media member to zag against the team? Numero uno, someone suggests Mark Berman from the 281. Also from the 281, Dell. Yeah, I think it's going to be Dell. Dell's got to do it, though. Dell's got to set it up, Skip Bayless style, put on a Skip Bayless mask, and deliver it to us. It is really funny to me that there is no one locally who is looking at the Houston Texans going into this year and saying, you know what? I'm going to stand on an island all by myself. I stand alone. What is that, P.O.D.? Puddle of Mud? I forget. Some sort of alternative early 2000s band. I forget which one. Just know that someone is going to stand alone. And if I was paid more, I'd think about it. You hear that? Hear that, people upstairs? Wait, nope, nope. Lock the door. I don't want you to fire me. Nope, can't do it. Not letting you do it to me. Hey, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. Because Joe George is gone. It's going to be Paul Gallant and Skip Bayless tomorrow. Skip Bayless, no longer part of ESPN. It's going to be the Paul and Skip show. Someone texted in, it's Godsmack, by the way. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And by the way, Joe is actually back tomorrow. Now I'm all of a sudden getting a little bit nervous. I got an email from corporate. It's because they want me to come into their office after the show. Nope, it's because we got a gift card to give away, you silly gooses. J-Bar M, baby. World-class barbecue. My guy, Hoffy, who's essentially Australian Batista, he's the man. They got world-class barbecue there, crafted cocktails. And listen, we're giving away a $50 gift card on our social media accounts, Instagram and Facebook. So make sure that you are following us and liking us on both of those two mediums. All right. So we're excited for the start of the Houston Texans season, right? Yeah. But we want to get more excited because there are no zaggers out there. There are no naysayers letting it be known that the Texans are going to struggle this coming year. Nope. It ain't there. So let's hear some more praise before this thing kicks off officially tomorrow. Give me a deep steel blue pill, Austin.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans swarm! Hell yeah, Austin's in. Everybody's in. Undefeated? 17-0? Super Bowl? Let's go, baby. Chase Daniel, you might remember him. He was a journeyman quarterback for a really long time. Well, now, he's actually an NFL analyst. He's gone and done his own thing on the YouTube side of things, analyzing film of quarterbacks. He was on with Diana Russini of The Athletic, and he said that after a conversation he had with Texans backup quarterback Case Keenum, he thinks it's possible, just like Case Keenum does, that Stroud could eventually be this.
Case and I go way back. The very first question, we both get out of our cars, hey, what's up, bro? My first question, I said, dude, tell me about C.J. Stroud. And he said, verbatim, he said, he has the chance to be one of, if not the best quarterbacks of all time.
All time.
Yeah, all time. And I said, look, I'm not saying, I'm not crowning the guy.
Yeah.
But like, I can see what he meant. And Case is a very straight shooter. He's played for a lot of different teams. But when he said that, my eyes like sort of lit up. I sort of got goosebumps because I'm like, I love watching film. I love breaking down quarterbacks. And I can see what he meant. If C.J. Stroud can take that next step this coming year, like, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. They're going to be tough to beat, sure. But in the middle of that, did you hear what Case Keenum said about C.J. Stroud? And that Chase Daniels essentially co-signing the same thing about CJ Stroud, he could be one of, if not the best ever. In a league where Patrick Mahomes is playing? In a league where Tom Brady once played? Joe Montana? Yeah, you heard right. CJ Stroud could be the best quarterback ever. I love hearing all these compliments. I mean, once the regular season starts, I imagine there's going to be some pushback on the Texans early, and it really is going to be about what they do in the playoffs. And then if they lose in the playoffs, we're going to be all hating on the Texans and calling them frauds going into the next year, sort of the way that we're doing with the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, even though they did make it to the AFC Championship game. Defense looked good. Offense, yikes. Rough game for Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship. He's not the only one, Chase Daniel, giving the Houston Texans more and more praise. Lewis Riddick, on a recent episode of NFL Live, had this to say about the Texans' defense.
Top three. If this is a team that gets inside a top five, top three in points per game allowed, they'll win the South going away, and they'll be in the AFC title game. That you can just go ahead and book that. If they can get inside the top five and start shutting people down like that with how much you expect them to improve their explosiveness on offense, which is already good, this is a team that is legitimately worth the hype.
A team that's legitimately worth the hype. And if they're top of the NFL in major defensive categories, lock AFC Championship. So Chase Daniel thinks Stroud could be the best ever. And Lewis Riddick thinks that if the Texans defensively are at the top of the league, lock AFC Championship game. There's got to be some Texans fans out there. There's got to be some that aren't sipping all this Kool-Aid that are like, oh my God, please stop. Stop for the love of God. The Houston Oilers used to exist here. Okay, yes, totally different franchise. This franchise has a lot more money than the Oilers. This franchise has a lot less arrested players than the Oilers turned Titans. Although, I guess, all the arrests that we've seen, that the Texans last in the NFL in arrests since 2000. The Titans, okay, they're up towards the top, but that's neither here nor there. People get nervous when the football teams here are getting put on a pedestal. Don't put your football team on a pedestal in Houston, Texas. It never ends well. The Oilers put themselves on a pedestal up 35-3. Disaster. So all I'm saying is, if you're uncomfortable, it's totally natural. I'm there with you. This is too much even for me. I will give you all the highlights that we get from national media types talking up the Texans when we get them. That's what these deep steel blue pills are for. But at this point, I mean, we're addicted to that deep steel blue pill. What's going to happen when the battle red pills start coming? To red pill us into realizing, oh, wait, they're not going to go 17-0? Huh. I don't know.
Now's the time to live a little.
It is the time to live a little. You're right, Austin. We have no stakes here. There's nothing to be concerned about. It's spring break. It's yacht week. You know, we're just having fun. So there you go. Austin Rodriguez behind the glass and for Sean Mapes. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. We are halfway there. Started at 100, now we're at 50 to the start of the NFL season. 50 days away, we got to remember a man who once pulled down his pants to motivate his players. Yes, that actually happened. You'll find out about that. And Deshaun Watson is showing flashes of absolute greatness. What kind of flashes are we talking? I mean, what does that mean? Stick around, Gallant and George.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad,
the countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
50 days away. The greatest number 50 in NFL history. Got to be Mike Singletary from Da Bears. Also, a former NFL head coach with the San Francisco 49ers. You might remember Mike Singletary more as a head coach because that's what he did recently. And didn't go so well, but He tried his best, like with this speech right here.
No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
I mean, don't we all? I like his lyrics in the Super Bowl shuffle. I'm Samurai Mike. I stop him cold. Part of the defense. Big and bold. I've been jamming for quite a while. Doing what's right and setting the style. Give me a chance. I'll rock you good. Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl shuffle. So Mike Singletary as a linebacker, Samurai Mike. Mike Singletary as a head coach dropped his pants as an interim head coach of the San Francisco 49ers on October 30th, 2008. But we remember him more as the guy who was a part of the 1985 Chicago Bears, because we should. Not everybody makes a good NFL coach. He was a great player. Speaking of the San Francisco 49ers, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade. That happened yesterday. I don't know that San Francisco really has any incentive to make a trade happen. And I don't really know where Ayuk would go. Are the Commanders going to pony up to get Ayuk so that he can play with Jaden Daniels? Because that seems to be where Ayuk wants to play. And I just think it's strange that he wants to play for the Commanders. Wouldn't you want to see Jaden Daniels play a little bit in the NFL before that? I mean, you might feel great about having watched him at college, but, I mean, a lot of people felt great about watching Tim Tebow at college. You have no idea what's going to happen at the next level. Same thing with Johnny Manziel. Two totally different people. One, I mean, divine, essentially. The other, perhaps Satan off the field. I'm just kidding. He just had a lot of fun. It's fine. People do that from time to time. Both did not make it happen at the NFL level. Like, for a quarterback, it's so hard to predict. Everyone thought Bryce Young was the guy going into last year's draft. C.J. Stroud ends up being the guy. How do you know? How do you know that Jaden Daniels is the guy? Why would you want out of San Francisco? I get it. You want to get paid. You don't think it's going to necessarily happen. You might get hurt, but you're not like Deebo Samuel, the kind of player who's consistently getting hit and running through contact and stuff like that. You know? Ayuk does make things happen after the catch, and he's a very good wide receiver, but I would want to play out this year. You've been so close to winning a Super Bowl with San Francisco. Don't you want to finally knock the door down? Going to the Commanders, they're a joke organization. Dan Quinn's their head coach, but he's officially requested a trade. Browns right guard Wyatt Teller told our friend Tyler Dunn of Go Long, the NFL's Substack, that he's seen flashes of absolute greatness from Deshaun Watson. And I think that Wyatt Teller should use a better choice of words. You can't talk about flashing with Deshaun Watson. Nope. Not anymore. Because that's apparently what Deshaun Watson was doing on the massage table with at least 24, if not 26, massage therapists, many of whom he seemingly forgot he had already done that with when he was DMing them on Instagram asking for another appointment. I am really curious as to how much of this is trope and fluff because, I mean, Watson was on throwing limits for a lot of this offseason. Teller had this to say. I would love to say he has glimpses of Patty Mahomes. He's calling him Patty. It's rather familiar. Patty Mahomes is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. I mean, he's insane. And he has great outlets. He has great receivers, great defense, blah, 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 blah. But he is the truth. I believe that Deshaun has that. I truly do. I've seen glimpses of it. Every quarterback in the NFL has a couple of glimpses where he looks like Patrick Mahomes, by the way, guys. I think it's very important to note that. When you see somebody that posts a highlight of a quarterback, like a great throw that he made, every quarterback that makes it to this level, for the most part, is capable of doing that once or twice on a football field. That's what makes all of these guys NFL caliber quarterbacks. It's very hard to play quarterback at this level. Some guys are never going to be able to cut it. everyone can do it. It's about doing it consistently. And I'm sure Watson could do it occasionally. I mean, we saw him not that long ago. He was really good with the Houston Texans. But this quote, man, we'll see what happens. The Browns basically need him to be that guy. He moved on from Joe Flacco with the team winning with Joe Flacco, under center Joe Flacco of all people, because Flacco was so popular in the locker room. And if you've taken a look at what Watson's been doing this offseason, he's been traveling the globe. He hasn't exactly been rehabbing things or getting massage therapists to work on specific things. So there you go. Flashes of absolute greatness. I would just say he's looking good. Don't say the word flash with Deshaun Watson.
He's starting to put it together again.
He's starting to put it together again. That's better. You're right, Austin. Flashes of greatness. Flashes of anything with Deshaun Watson. Not a great choice of words. Continuing to go around the NFL, it seems like the in-season Hard Knocks with the New York Giants is fun because the Giants are a disaster. So on previous episodes, we saw Brian Daboll really rizzing it up with Drake May, who the Patriots drafted. They wanted to trade up to get Drake May, didn't get him. We saw Joe Schoen, the general manager of the Giants, on a phone call with Saquon Barkley saying he's going to let him test the market. And in the middle of that, Saquon said, like, hey, but, like, I want to be back. Now, on the most recent episode, we have owner John Mara going into Joe Schoen's office and saying this about the possibility of Saquon Barkley joining the Eagles and how it's, like, the absolute last thing he wants.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know. I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen. But
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, now he's an Eagle. And the owner said that. This actually might be the show to watch. Now, I imagine the next group in a front office is going to be a little more guarded with the off-season edition of Hard Knocks next year because of how bad the Giants are looking. But this season seems like it's actually worth watching, which you can't really say about most Hard Knocks season because you're getting moments like this. I'm sure there's a lot of slow, boring moments too, but this is pretty good.
I am surprised that they allow all this stuff to come out, considering how much editorial control they want on, like, the training camp editions and everything.
I would think that John Mara would see this and say, like, I don't want to look upset that Saquon Barkley left, unless he wants to look upset so that the Giants know it's not his fault, it's the people he hired's fault, but then it does become his fault.
On you.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Saquon Barkley told the Philadelphia Inquirer that the naysayers letting him know have helped shape him. So, there you go. Patrick Mahomes, is he focused on the next one like Tom Brady would be? Is he focused on a three-peat like Tom Brady would be? Because he's bringing a TV to camp for the first time ever. Because why? He wants to play the new NCAA football video game. Opportunity for C.J. Stroud and the Texans? Question mark? Mahomes also had this to say, so it's not as if he's not focusing on getting better. Quote, you've got to come in with that same mentality you had the year before, even a higher intensity. And even though we won the Super Bowl last year, we felt like we didn't play our best football, especially offensively. So it's our goal to be better that way and come in with that mentality every single day. But I'm also bringing a TV so I can play NCAA football 25. And to wrap up things, as we go around the NFL, Joe George's long national nightmare is over. Might not get to talk about it since Skip Bayless is replacing him tomorrow. Sources, Skip Bayless, coming back to ESPN Houston. Caleb Williams has signed his rookie deal. So all that drama about the Bears maybe not getting him in the building, which we talked about yesterday, not a big deal at all. Classic contract negotiations through the media. Sorry, I was part of it. I carried Caleb Williams' water. Something that his finger-painted hand nails... painted hand nails? Painted fingernails? I don't know what it is. His painted fingernails should have been doing it, not me. He didn't give me a buck of that money that he just got. Outrageous. Anyway, it is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe will actually be back from vacation tomorrow at noon. Coming up next, yesterday you heard Jonnu Smith of the Buffalo Bills, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, now the Miami Dolphins, dumping on Buffalo as a sports city. Well, after comments from one of America's most notorious ex-athlete turned podcasters, what is the worst sports city, professional sports city in the United States of America? You get to answer that next. Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul. Stick around. Gallant and George, no Joe, just
back
Paul.
Back with Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
No Joe, just Paul. Yesterday, we played Jonnu Smith, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, now the Miami Dolphins, talking about how he's not a fan of Buffalo as a sports town. It's an interesting clip. We also heard from Gilbert Arenas in yet another rant that's gone viral with Gilbert that he hates Sacramento as a sports town. So it got me wondering, and you can chime in on this, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. What is the worst American professional sports town? From the 936, Eric the Driver texts in, historically, both Detroit and San Diego have been pretty bad in the professional sports realm. That's true. But San Diego, everyone wants to live there. Now, there's no NFL team anymore. There's just a baseball team, the Padres. I don't think there's ever going to be a basketball team in San Diego since you got the Lakers and the Clippers just up the road. Detroit does have four teams, and Detroit actually does care. It's just, do you want to live in Detroit? But I don't think Detroit's that close to the bottom of worst professional sports towns in the United States of America. King of all Twitches asks a good question. What makes a good sports town? Well, you want to have diehard fans, but I think you want to have a good place to live. You actually want people to look at where you play games and think to themselves, you know what? I could live here for months at a time. Is Sacramento that? Sacramento is not fun to drive through, but I don't think Sacramento is at the very bottom. At the very least, Sacramento is kind of close to the coast. Not that close to the coast. Some people might say Jacksonville. Jacksonville's got some great beaches. Can't hate on Jacksonville. So I'm going to give an impromptu list of the places that I think are the worst sports towns with a professional team in the United States of America. Six, I'm going to say Salt Lake City, but mainly because of the alcohol thing. And because it gets a little bit weird out west with the Church of Latter-day Saints. Just a little strange. I used to work for them. I wasn't allowed to talk about gambling or sex on the air. Can you believe that I made it for 2 years up there? It's not like I really talk about gambling all that much, but you weren't allowed to talk about drinking, dating, anything. It was just stick to sports. Brutal. Especially when the city of Seattle gives you so much to talk about that's completely ridiculous on a daily basis.
Yeah, you were on both sides of the spectrum there.
Yes, truly. Wasn't fair. Wasn't fair. But hey, listen, I'm on to better things. Salt Lake City, I don't think I would enjoy living there. I do like skiing, so at the very least, no, not that kind of skiing. Skiing, the one that's really expensive. No, not that kind of skiing. The kind that's really expensive where you go outside and go up and down mountains. No, not that kind of skiing. God. So six, Salt Lake City. Five, Memphis. What's in Memphis? Barbecue? Not Texas barbecue. Fake news. It's got FedEx. That's cool.
That's the Bass Pro Shop Pyramid.
There's that. That's true, Austin. It does have a little bit of culture. You know, There's not that many great American architectural feats these days. So at the very least, Memphis has a little bit of culture. But you want to go to Memphis? What is it on the border of? I don't even know. I know it's like super western Tennessee. Yeah. Don't want to do that. So that's in where do I have? That is fifth. Fourth, Orlando. Orlando sucks. Disney World, terrible. I can't believe people pay an arm and a leg to go there. They are getting ripped off annually by those lazy hacks who have ruined Star Wars and just about every single thing that you enjoyed as a kid. And now you got to pay thousands of dollars to go to Orlando and bring your child there for their once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage where you're just going to get robbed blind and wait in lines for a long period of time. That is all Orlando has. It's not even on the water. It's on a bunch of swamp lakes. Terrible. I hate Orlando with a passion. I used to live an hour and a half from Orlando. Inland Florida is literally the pits. Sell it to Cuba. They could use the land and the freedom. So that's number four for me. Number three, Oklahoma City. Does Oklahoma City have anything of note in it? This is all I know about Oklahoma City, and it's an absolute tragedy that it happened. All I know about Oklahoma City is that it got is the Oklahoma City bombing. That's truly all I know. And there's a haunted hotel that basketball players constantly bitch and moan about. That's what Oklahoma City offers. As much as Seattle drove me crazy, it is a beautiful city. Like the outdoors part of it. Now the streets part of it, a little nerve-wracking, but Seattle deserves a basketball team. Oklahoma City doesn't deserve anything. Anything. So that's number three, worst professional American cities. Number two, Indianapolis. I can't believe they have a football team. Stole it from Baltimore in the middle of the night. Baltimore deserves that. Deserves the Colts. It shouldn't be the Ravens, but whatever. Hey, the Ravens won two Super Bowls since Baltimore moved to Indy. Everyone talks about Indianapolis like it's this great place to visit. Yes, because everything is within walking distance. All three things. Two of which are the same stadium, just used in different ways. Lucas Oil Field. Wherever the Pacers play, and I guess the St. Elmo's Steakhouse, where everyone raves about shrimp in Indiana. Indiana.
But you don't understand, it's the sauce.
We're talking cocktail sauce in an inland state. The only part of the state that touches the water is Gary, Indiana, which is like the American Chernobyl minus the radioactivity? Nope. So Indianapolis is number two. I can't believe that they have professional sports there. And number one, most of all, and I can't believe that a draft is taking place here, took place here, whatever. Green Bay, Wisconsin. What? Do they even have roads in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
You don't understand, Paul. Green Bay's got so much history.
Yes, and Green Bay should be history. They should play in a city like Milwaukee. It's 2 hours from any civilization. 2 hours from Chicago's airport. 2 hours from Milwaukee's airport. What is there to do in Green Bay? I actually did an episode of my live stream on this. There is absolutely bleep to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Absolutely terrible. So there you go, guys. Six, Salt Lake City. Five, Memphis. Four, Orlando. Three, Oklahoma City. Two, Indianapolis. And one, Green Bay. The worst American professional sports towns. All of them. Terrible. Largo says, I go to Indy all the time. It's better than a handful of pro sports towns. My dad went to Indianapolis once and was so depressed by that place that he told everybody who was there, like, you need to leave. When he was at the airport on the way out, like, he had a long conversation. And my dad, like traveling salesman, flies all over the place. Indianapolis, he says, is the absolute worst city in the United States of America. So that may have affected my opinion a little bit, but Green Bay should not have a team. Like, how many people live in Green Bay? 30?
Oh, 30,000, Paul. Come on, get it right.
No, Green Bay, terrible. Who would want to live there? It's in Wisconsin, but it's like not even a cool part of Wisconsin. Milwaukee's sick. I love Milwaukee. Green Bay sucks. Come on. They have a football team? How?
Oh, but the history.
Yeah. Think about how like they haven't moved. Why not?
Oh, but the stadium's old.
Who likes going to old stadiums?
But the charm, the history.
That stadium is not a good one. They're metal benches you're sitting on. Foxborough Stadium, dump, had metal benches. Also had poop coming out of the sinks. Now, it was slightly better at Lambeau Field than Foxborough Stadium, but you want to go to Fenway Park and spend $300 on tickets? That's a dump. Wrigley Field, dump. I want to go to a place where I don't get splinters in my ass where I have a effing pole in front of me. That's what those two dump stadiums are. Lambeau, the same thing.
Pull the history.
Yes, bomb it. It should be gone. We should get rid of it. Demolition to that. What, we can't get rid of the Astrodome? Come on. Get rid of those stadiums. I hate them. All of them. And Green Bay shouldn't have one. So there you go. My list is the only list that matters, and you're all wrong. Embrace debate. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in the last day before Skip Bayless joins the show. Texter says some people like the simple life. Another texter. Charlotte, Kansas City, Detroit, Salt Lake City, Oklahoma City. It's worst sports towns. Do you mean worst as in the fans? No, worst as the city itself. Okay. Cleveland's not that bad. People hate on Cleveland. They got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Does Orlando have that? Nope. There you go. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No joke, just Paul. Coming up next on this fine radio program of ours. In honor of Fox and Major League Baseball, assuming who you are as a Texan, this is going to be a very interactive segment. What are the biggest myths that outsiders believe about the great state of Texas? You'll hear an absolute crime, hate crime, committed upon Texans on national TV next. Stick around. It is Galan and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.